Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. We've got a great show for you today. We are talking Don't Draft Him. And to help me do that, Stevie Fizz. Steve, how you doing, mate?
I got a few problems, Jono.
What's the biggest problem?
Well, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Because last time we spoke, you hadn't been whale watching.
No, I hadn't.
And now you've been whale watching, so congratulations.
And it was awesome.
No, for all the listeners out there, Jono's last week's show we pre-recorded, and Jono's gotten married.
Yes.
And
had a bit of time off with the new Dahl.
But look, Jono, we've been friends for a long time.
We have.
We do a podcast together.
We do.
We drink a lot of beer.
We do.
We played bowls together.
We did.
I've had to unfollow you on Facebook, Jono.
Has the missus gone tag happy?
She's gone tag crazy. And yeah. Not just you that I've had to unfollow. I've had to unfollow about six other people.
Because they're tagged in it?
Because they're tagged in things. Now, I love you, Jono. You're a great bloke. But, and I'm not even friends with your missus, by the way, on Facebook. But this is just too much. Like, I've had to unfollow league mates. I've had to unfollow relatives. Actually, your relatives, you all look the same, by the way.
But, yes, we do.
And if they plonked another Crockett down in that chair, I'd only be able to tell the difference because they had better fantasy advice.
Quite possible. But it's all good. It's safe to come back online. Even I was getting to the point where this is off grounds for divorce because I'd wake up in the morning, I've got 40 notifications. I barely get that a year.
I've just had a kid.
Yeah.
And my missus doesn't tag me in as much.
I've told her to put a stop to it. So it's all good now. But some news. Football's starting again, Steve. It's spring. The birds are chirping. Players are burning up the track.
Oh, I love that.
First day yesterday. Today.
Yesterday, sorry.
Players burning up the track. Your boy, Sharon Goat.
The Goat!
Got through a training session, so...
Oh, my God. That's it. Lock him in.
Racing up the draft boards. Also, on the last day of the listed free agency, Michael Barlow to the Gold Coast Suns. So, good pick up for the Suns there. And Ricky Henderson to the Hawks.
Yeah, really fantasy-relevant players, you'd say, Jono. And we've got a couple questions about those guys from the... from the loyal listeners who we love keeping in contact with over the off season. We really appreciate everyone listening to the show. If you listen to the show, you know, maybe you've got some friends who are thinking about watching cricket and that's just terrific.
Just slap them.
Just slap them, give them the podcast and off they go.
And also in news today, one of the, I'd say, fantasy royalty announced his retirement, Nick Del Santo, hanging up the boots after 15 seasons.
No offers, Jono.
No offers.
Oh, well.
That's right. Hey, he was great back in the heyday.
Was he ever?
Oh, yeah.
Good old, a lot of respect for Nick Del Santo. He got the outside ball like no one else.
Oh, yeah, especially in those St. Kilda years. But big show today, Steve. We are talking players that we will not be drafting. But before we get into that, listeners, we would like to welcome the third member of the Draft Doctors, the Statesman. Statesman, welcome to the Draft Doctors.
It's an absolute pleasure to be aboard, but I must make sure that listeners are quite aware that I do not hold any medical degrees whatsoever. So I'm great to be part of the Draft Doctors, but no medical degrees, not like Dr. Dream Team back all those years ago.
That is a long time ago.
God damn, that's a long time ago. But, you know, we're super, super happy to have someone who's actually qualified to talk about football as opposed to us. But we also want to throw out a thanks to all the people who got in contact with us about
jumping on board. And
coming on board. You just weren't up to snuff.
No, but before we get into it, we are launching the website very soon. But if you'd like to get in contact and maybe write some articles for us, if you live on the west coast of Australia or South Australia or up north, we'd love to have you on board.
What about overseas, Jono?
Overseas listeners, I'd like to hear what's happening in the German league. It's pretty big over there.
We've got reviews on the US iTunes store.
Hey, we'll take anyone we can get.
Well, that's I actually heard that's how you ended up getting married.
Yeah,
that sentence came out.
That's what I put on Twitter. and if you would like to follow us on Twitter or get in contact with us to get on board, you can go to Twitter where we are at the Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook and check out the Draft Doctors page there, or send us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
There's a lot of ways to get in contact.
A lot of ways.
Don't try to contact the Statesman, though. He's in a secure location.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Very secure.
yes, it's a little bit cold and secure.
Is that Iceland? Or is it Greenland? Is it Greenland that's icy?
Yes, Greenland's icy. But we'll kick off the show, and I think to do that, we'll give it to our newest member, Statesman. Kick us off.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Now, to be honest, I probably didn't do the pre-read that well because I probably should have picked a player that is not one that I will draft that had a bigger, higher profile and arguably should have been playing in Victoria and been noticed. So I hope I pronounce his name correctly. Yablet? That's correct. Gary Yablet is the player I will not draft.
Whoa, that's a big call there. What do you reckon about that, Steve?
I'm just questioning who vetted the applications to become the third doctor, because you can't come in here. And I'm not sure about our gun laws, but that is a smoking gun.
Well, I will say I've got a fair bit of data to back this up. So let's look at the last two seasons for Gary Ablett. In total, he has played 20 games. Only six of which in 2015, only 14 games in 2016. For a combined average of Dream Team points of 98.9. Now that puts him behind Patrick Dangerfield, Zach Merritt, Sloan, Rockcliffe, Steph Martin, Trelaw, Neil Parker, Danahan, JPK, Nick Riewoldt. Dustin Martin, Pendlebury, Tom Mitchell, Jack Stevenson, Sidebottom, Pritis, Lewis, Taylor Adams, Joel Selwood, Matthew Boyd, Sam Mitchell, Goddard, Goldstein, Montagna, and Jack McRae. But wait, there's more. Nat Fyfe. Two broken legs in that time, more games, higher average. And getting a little bit smart about this, would you believe Dyson Heppel and Brent Stanton had a whole year out, more games, and higher average. And why wouldn't I draft him? Well, he struggles with injury. After the departure of two key midfielders, he's still going to be their number one tag target. And it'll become easier to tag due to his injuries. And of course, slowing down with his age because he's 33 in May. He has not played a full season of football since 2010, and that was with Geelong.
Some pretty interesting stats there, Steve.
It's unfortunately compelling, Jono. Often we take our blinkers off come draft day, and...
Well, you're also losing Prestia and O'Meara out of that.
Well, I don't think we've lost O'Meara. Was he ever there?
No, but he's the name, he's the brand, but...
Well, you got Barlow now.
But who, you're still going to tag Ablett, though, aren't you?
Oh, of course. Look, yeah. It's a compelling argument. And the thing is we always see Ablett as this round one pick.
Yes.
That's the thing, isn't it, Statesman, would you say?
Absolutely, the bottom line is that he's not going to get round to three or four selection where he's going to be a bargain and worth the risk. This man's going to go round one, worst case scenario, round two, and that's why, put a list of 31 names I've just done then, which will basically cover your first two rounds, I wouldn't go Ablett ahead of many of those.
Yeah, I certainly couldn't be taking Ablett in a first-round pick this year.
Oh, look, it's
just too much options for me just right now than Ablett.
Well, we know you love to play it safe, John. We know you...
Oh, yeah, I played it safe with Steph Martin as my ruckman.
Well, I mean, look, let's be honest. Like, guys with injury history, with chronic injury history, they're...
Big no-no for me.
They're super coach kryptonite.
Yes.
So Ablett certainly falls into that category, and... you know, I have a hard time disagreeing, but I also have a hard time imagining that when it gets to, you know, if I've got pick 9, I got to be honest, I feel like I'd have a hard time passing on him.
See, because you're not an ageist like Statesman and I. We're ageists, and I don't like injury-prone players either.
I understand that. Like, we're...
Sorry, if I just said pick 9, you might find it hard. So I'll just go through some names here. And see if they're both left there. Would you pick Ablett ahead of these? Dangerfield.
No, I think Dangerfield's fine.
I'd go Danger over Ablett.
Rory Sloane.
Which format?
That's tough.
Dream team?
I'd roll the dice on Ablett.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
Lockie Neal.
I'd probably say Neal.
Yeah, in Dream Team, I'd probably take Neal. In Supercatch, I'd probably take Ablett.
I'd take Neal on both.
Tom Mitchell.
That's a tough one.
Question. Big question mark there now.
Look, he's a compelling figure because...
He's just done it for so long.
The ceiling's there, but maybe the ceiling's not there anymore, would you say, Statesman?
I don't think the ceiling's there. I think he's still going to get his amount of ball, but with the tag constantly being around him, it's going to be more about the hand.
Yeah, look, it's... I mean, could you see him resting forward a lot more as well?
Well, that could be the only thing to be on this thought process. What happens after six weeks, the reallocation, and all of a sudden he's a forward?
Yeah, it's...
Still don't mind a 100 averaging forward.
Look, he's a tough guy to own, man. I don't know. I completely agree. I probably couldn't take him in the first round.
I just can't wait for these mock drafts to start coming out.
Especially in the second. If I was playing a dream team format, I couldn't take him in the second round either. Supercoach, different story.
Mm.
But dream team format, I don't think I could take him in the first two rounds.
Forgive me for asking this question, but does it matter if it's Dream Team or Supercoach when he's injured now?
Well, he might hold... Well, it does, in effect, because he would hold more trade value. So, only if you get him as a bargain in the first place. Because if he's injured, he's no trade value. I've seen a traded injured Ablett before.
And I have too. And it had lots of value.
Yeah, well, Richard Douglas can speak to that value.
That's true.
Anyway, Steve, I think that's a compelling case not to draft Mr. G. Ablett.
Certainly won't be drafted by Statesman.
No.
Why don't you lead us off, Steve?
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about someone in the complete same realm of fantasy football superstardom. That's Shane Edwards from Richmond.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Again, much like your Gary Ablett, very injury-prone, tends to miss a lot of games. And this year, the Tigers just don't need him in the midfield. You know, they've recruited well.
Yep.
Presty is in there. And just the volume isn't there for Shane Edwards, but... You know, look, he's usable in the right matchups, and if he was getting the midfield time, sometimes he can produce decent scores. But to me, when you get to that sort of third round, or the third forward you're looking for, he's someone that bobs up on your radar because he's
a teaser.
Well, he's a vanilla kind of guy because he'll produce enough good games to. Score to have a good average, but he produces so many just really average games that keep him down. I think this year he's going to go even further down. He's been a good, like he's a skillful player, but he just doesn't produce the fantasy volume you need to get a consistent score. I really feel like he's the sort of guy who you draft or you see drafted in that sort of round 10 to 13 range.
Yeah.
Who you end up dropping.
Yeah.
And you just don't want to do that with a valuable pick. Like, anything before round 14, I feel like, is a valuable pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in those rounds, they're pretty critical too, because it can set you up or for success or failure.
Yeah, absolutely. It can really set, you know, if you were drafting just a midfielder in that range, it could really set your midfield up. I feel like he's just someone who gets drafted because you know the name, you've seen him produce some, he produced some okay scores. I mean, meanwhile, you got him off the waiver wire. I'm just not interested this year at all.
To help your argument, you've got Prestia coming to that midfield. I can actually see Koch and Dusty spending more time forward, because we know Dusty wants to play forward and Koch can go forward and kick goals too.
I'm banking on a big Koch year. Ooh. This year. We'll hear about that in future shows. But what say you, Statesman? What are your thoughts on Mr. Shane Edwards?
Yeah, yeah, I think you just followed my big call with another absolute ripper. Maybe not. So if we went to a betting track together, I think I'll be putting on the 100-1 bet on a couple of bucks, and you'll be putting your $2 on the 7-4-5. The thing here with Shane Edwards, he actually can play footy. Now, I just wonder with the better midfield that they're going to have the Tigers, of whether there's an opportunity that actually could be fed more ball on the outside. To be honest, I agree with you. I wouldn't draft him either. I've been burnt by him before in draft leagues. But he does have that little bit of potential where he could chop out a bit of... I think he's actually a really good waiver wire bench player where you can take the risk on the Thursday or Friday night game and maybe use him as that urgency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, because you're eventually going to find him on the waiver wire.
Yes. Or on the long-term injury list.
His injuries are never long-term. They're always short to mid. Sure. They end up being mid.
Yeah.
2 weeks. 2 weeks for 10.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Jono? Who do you see as being someone you're not going to damn well draft this year?
Well, seeing as the Hawthorn dynasty has been shattered and they're just in a rabble now, they don't... Getting rid of all those top gun players.
Traded for pick 70.
70 and 88 and everything else. I'm going Josh Gibson.
He's one of your boys.
I've had him for a couple of years, yeah. He's one of my boys, but 33 come 2017. He was tagged out of a lot of games this year, which is not good for us fantasy players because you want him to score well. He looked really like he slowed down towards the end of the year, just... tired. I don't know if he was carrying an injury, disinterested. I mean, four premierships, I'd be pretty happy too.
Four? Shit, you'd be happy after one, mate. You'd be happy winning a game. You're just queuing the rack.
Pretty much. I got my medallion, I'm going home.
Done.
Live off of that for the rest of my life. But some interesting stats for Josh Gibson. In both formats, he had no tons in the last 5 weeks of the home and away season. And what's the last five weeks of the home and away season? That's our fantasy finals. So he only had a 99 and 97, which is in those 5 weeks, which is not good enough for me. I can see the Hawks to drop down the ladder, as well as he had his career year last year at the age of 32. So not for me.
Not for you, Joe. Yeah, it's hard to disagree. I mean, he is one of the boom bust. He's the very different. Well, I mean, a lot of defenders are.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's one of your boys. I mean, when we're talking a lot of these players, I mean, it very much comes down to range. I mean, where would you stand being drafted? I know you're more of a super coach. And so is Josh Gibson, more of a super coach choice.
Yes.
Where would you see him being drafted?
When I have drafted him in the past, he has been my first defender.
Yeah.
So I was probably looking at him in the first four or five rounds.
Sure.
But now I'd be looking 6 to 10.
10. So if you go through the 10th round...
Then I'd be probably looking at him as a second or third defender.
Probably third, would you say?
Then I could take a flyer on him, but still...
But it doesn't seem like he's going to get there.
No, I don't think he would anyway, because people see his averages in the 90s. I've seen those 190 scores that he's knocked out.
What would you say, though, if Hawthorn are going to be a poorer side, will there be more ball in their defence? If that's what your contention is.
That's quite a possibility, but he doesn't take those marks. He just punches it. You don't get as many points for it.
Well, it's still points. I'm just saying there's volume. There's volume back there. There's
a potential for volume back there.
Oh, look, I couldn't take him in the fourth round. I'm not...
You're not a crazy man.
Idiot. I'm sort of a madman, but... that's it. Look, he's an interesting person to discuss because it really depends on your league, I think.
What do you think, Statham?
Well, firstly, I believe that defenders getting more of the ball if the team's poor is a bit of a fallacy. The reality is that if your team's poor, they're not giving enough midfield pressure, and therefore the kicking the forwards more, they actually get less of the ball. It's actually when your midfielders are under pressure and they're bombing the ball in, players like Josh Gibson get the mark. So if your midfield's got really good pressure, you're actually going to score more as a defender because there is more pressure with the ball going forward. So I like Josh Gibson. I am an ageist and certainly understand, but to be fair, I love this man's ceiling. He's one of those guys that are going to win you a couple of games, and he's probably going to lose you a couple when he gets his 40s and 50s. But Josh Gibson, if he's sitting around the fourth defender position, probably I'm snapping him up. Whether he gets that far, I'm unsure.
Yeah, and we saw that with Luke Hodge in a lot of his games this year when the pressure was good in the midfield and the team was turning the ball over. Luke Hodge would score quite well, but when the Hawks' pressure was down, he scored 60.
Yeah.
And was quite poor. So look at that. Look at the Statesman just coming in, talking actual football. We have no idea.
Fact.
We're just going, we've got no... Just, you know, we're sitting here with our beers just going, a bit of this. And
just knowledge, just dropping knowledge on us.
Dropping people's elbows on us.
Oh, I like the people's elbow.
Well, that's an interesting thing. So Josh Gibson, an interesting person to, if he was in the right range. But Jono's at the point that he's not going to be in the right range.
No, not for me.
So there you go.
And that's going to be with all these players. We'd have to look at if they are in the right range.
Oh, if Gary Ablett was there in 17th round, I'd probably take him.
Yeah, maybe two rounds later.
True. Bench pick.
Yeah. Who's your second player there, Statesman?
Yeah, my second one, I'll continue with the defender theme, and probably a few people will be upset. The Dreamboat himself won a premiership medallion this year. No, sorry, he was just given one, that's Robert Murphy. The reason is, turned 34 in June, he's coming back from an ACL. We know players are generally best after an ACL, after a full season, so normally it's their second year back after an ACL. In 2016, he played his three games with an average of 102, so people might actually be quite attracted to Murphs because of his result this year. But in the previous six seasons, he's only averaged above 81, this is in Dream Team, which was in 2013, which was only an average of 85. And if he continued this year without the injury, no doubt he would have actually averaged a bit more around that mark, not in the hundreds. And as far as I'm concerned, romance, as much as I like the bloke, has no place in my draft.
Does that also mean you're playing the ageist card to Statesman?
Correct.
Well, the old silver fox, Robert Murphy. I kind of agree
with the Statesman here, not being the ageist part, but his last two, well, before he did his knee, as Statesman said, he was averaging the hundreds, and the year before that, he career year pretty much in Supercoach for sure, but as a Bob Murphy fan, ACLs, nah, no good for me.
Yeah, look, they're no good, and I'll be honest, I'm a bit worried about his neck. Carrying all these undeserved medals around.
Isn't he getting Joe Watson Brownlow?
Well, I think that's on the table.
All right.
Probably handed the presidency next.
Better candidate.
Yeah, no, look, I, I completely agree. I think he's going to be one of those players you see once you're crossing off your, you know, as I'm sure our listeners are doing, they're setting their tiers when yes. they head into their drafts, and they're crossing the names off, and maybe Bob Murphy's a player they have in a tier, maybe a tier too high.
I would think so.
A tier or two.
So I think people might be even looking at that second or third defender just purely on average.
And name.
And name, way too high for me.
But I mean, look at all the quality ball users off the Bulldogs half back line, Jono. Like Jason Johannesson, I mean.
Norm Smith.
He just kicks it straight to the other team, and that's best on ground stuff.
That's 144 fantasy points.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that later.
I think we will.
But no, look, it's another great call from...
two for two.
Well, I don't want to give him too much credit. We'll take him down a peg.
We'll wait till the last one and then we'll really get into it.
Just smash the table. The problem is, unlike us, Jono, he can go wash away the taste of this podcast with his tasty Cascade draft.
Certainly can.
Unlike us.
Maybe as a Christmas present, we'll get a couple of slab sandwiches.
Well, just hint. Jono, I'm going to stay on the defender theme. And I'm going to talk about Brody Smith. As a player I'm not damn well going to draft. He only had 2 tons last year, Jono.
Did he only play 2 games last year?
Was
he
played all there? The games.
Wow. No concussions this year.
Well, I got concussed when I knocked myself out when he kept scoring me 60.
Yes.
Is
that played the JJ school of football just turning it over?
No, well, look, he just kicks it to wherever he can. Wherever the longest kick he can kick, that's where the ball lands.
Okay.
Plays a very uncontested game, but he doesn't get the volume you need to be fantasy relevant. Like, we see a lot of these players like Brandon Ellis, Andrew Gaff, play a very uncontested game, but they get the volume you need to succeed in fantasy. He was a salary cap stud in 2014. You know, a lot of the articles we see about fantasy football and Supercoach and Dream Team and whatnot, they're sort of predicated around salary cap. And so I always feel like some of these guys, their names are a bit in higher light because they were a good cash cow.
Yeah.
And I think Brody Smith certainly fits that bill. Look, he still has an exceptionally high meters gained, but he scores poor.
Mm.
So to me, that says that he's getting enough of the ball, he's getting enough of the meters gained. Like, Patrick Janefield gets a stack of meters gained, run and carry, kicks it long. And they sort of both kick it to nowhere. But, you know, Dangerfield does something with it. It's contested. Gets a lot more of it as well. You know, I'm just... I feel like he's going to be too highly picked because of the name value of Brody Smith. And, you know, people can say, oh, I'll take him. But I just can't get him at the value that I feel like he's going to be drafted, which is probably around... you know, 8 or 10.
Hint, listeners. Brody Smith is one of my burn men for 2017.
Okay, so the burn men's obviously one of our listeners' favourite shows.
Yeah.
He's
sitting top of the tree for me right at the moment. I've been burned by him too many times in all formats.
What do you want to do all our shows right now, Jono?
Pretty much. Then I'm going to have a couple of weeks off.
Well, we know that's coming up. Another whale-watching expedition, I'm sure.
Vietnam, I'm going to shoot rocket launches.
That's... How do I respond to that? I didn't prep.
You can't.
You didn't give me any prep.
Drop the mic, I'm out of here. But no, just a hint for the listeners. I've been burnt by Brody Smith too often. Obviously, we saw him with those concussions as well. Injury prone, don't like it. I don't want any part of him, as we know.
Do you want to get the opinion from the third wheel?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I've been the third wheel a lot of my life, to be quite honest with you, gents. Brody Smith had a four-year breakout Dream Team average in 2014 of 82, Supercoach of 93. I'm one of these great wide hope opportunities for Brody Smith, and I think he can do it. He'll be 25 next year. This man know is going to boom me, but sadly, I'm going to be sucked in again and draft him. Because he can put up the tons, and if he gets the right team structure and spends more time on the wing, there is a fair chance that this boy can actually get those 80 to 90 averages, which is superb for a defender. And in a draft format, I reckon that is a really good third backman.
Damn, he's putting up some good stats, because I like my defenders, and I like them averaging that 80 plus.
Yeah, I'm just not... He's such a low 80s defender. I think there's guys who are going to go past him who I think we're going to be able to weed out over the off-season. Like, look at Adelaide. They had an absolute bumper year. They haven't done anything. They're probably sitting pretty comfortable. I mean, is there a game, like, structure, game plan, tactic that they're going to use that gets Brody Smith more involved? Because I don't feel for them to get better... They use Brody Smith more.
Ricky Henderson leaving?
Potentially. Who never played. Plus, I mean, your boy Curtly Handham's probably going to take his spot any day now.
And I also think Bryce Gibbs through their midfield really helped. Oh, they didn't get him.
Well, that didn't happen. Well, Troy Menzel's going to run through there any day now.
You got He's still on the list?
That's a bit rough. I also feel that
his trajectory was always going up until those concussions hit. I think it was about round three, round four last year, 2015. And I think he's actually been troubled all the way through then. Get a full recovery and actually get a run on a business to see if that trend is actually going to continue before those interruptions. So that's why I'm still taking a punt with him. You're probably right and smarter than me and probably won't get sucked in like I will.
Look, he's pretty risk-reward, I feel. Like, we have seen him score exceptionally well.
We have.
There's no doubt about that. But we've also seen a coaching change. We've also seen...
Game plan change.
But we've seen other guys step up.
That's true. Rory Laird.
Well, Rory Laird stepped up, but I'm just in the AFL in general. There's other defenders I'm certainly high on. Like, we spoke about last week, Tommy Cutler. I'm pretty bullish on him. You know, he's a defender I'd certainly like. He's going to come at a lot cheaper draft value.
Yep.
But, you know, if you wanted to take the risk, the bounty's there to be had. And I could end up, this could end up being our You Guys Suck show next year. Anyway, the proof will be in the pudding. Jono, who do you have up next?
I'm going to jump off the defender train for a bit, and I'm moving on to a ruckman in the name of one Stefan Martin. He only turned up once in a full season. The only other time he's ever done that was when he played 12 games. Chris Fagan has now taken over at the Brisbane Lions, and that just brings a whole world of uncertainty to his coaching structure. I mean, yeah, he's going to bring a bit of Hawthorn to him, but new club, new coach to the club scares the bejesus out of me. I mean, we saw Archie Smith last year play a few games and did quite well, and played when Steph Martin played, and where was Steph Martin when Archie Smith was taking those centre clearances? He was either forward or on the bench. And how many goals have you seen Steph Martin kick in his whole career?
All of them.
Yeah, all one or two of them, I bet. Like any team that plays a two ruck team, their scores are going to be hampered. I mean, Trent West even got a game and that affected his scoring. Just got to question his ability to get around the grounds too. I mean, he's not as mobile as some of these younger athletic ruckmen. And he went in round ones in a lot of drafts this year, but I couldn't touch him in the first three, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're smoking crack, Jono.
No, not crack. Just speedballs.
Just, what's that new drug? Flacker.
Flacker, something.
You're
like
on
that.
The flacker, Jono.
Hallucinating, am I?
If Steph Martin's there in the second round, I'm all over it.
Good luck to you.
How about this? Had a concussion, Jono. Early days, start of the season. We talk about concussions being pretty serious in affecting the scoring. 7 of the last 8 games, Dream Team tons. 6 of the last 8 games, Supercoach, 92+.
For an elite ruckman, I don't want 92+.
7 of the last 8, Dream Team tons.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's probably the second best ruckman, well, third best ruckman, probably. Well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
If you got the third best ruckman in round 2.
Archie Smith and Trent West weren't playing then.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Trent West banging down the door?
No, he's
Does Chris Fagan walk up and go, you know what? Trent West? Yeah.
He got delisted.
But
you got Archie Smith there.
What? And?
2 rucks. We don't know what Fagan's going to do. Scares the hell out of me.
Oh, well, you know, look, that's a fair point. We don't know what's going to happen. But I actually did a little bit of... Because we're doing our... next week, we're doing our When to Draft a Ruck show. So I created a little crazy ruck rankings.
Okay.
Early ruck rankings. And there was top 4. And Steph Martin was in the top 4 for me. And if you tell me there's a world... He was the number 1 Supercoach player 2 years ago. Or the number 1 Dream Team player, sorry, 2 years ago. Number 1.
Yes, he was.
So, number 1 overall player is in his goddamn arsenal.
That was 2 years ago. It's potentially there, yeah. But, again, what I've just put in front of you...
Which is, what, Archie Smith?
And a new coach. We don't know what's going to happen. And a lot of clubs are starting to lean towards a 2-ruck combo. Max Gawn kicks goals. Goldstein kicks goals.
Max Gawn barely gets 10 touches a game.
He's kicked goals throughout the year.
Throughout the year?
Yeah.
I've kicked goals throughout the year.
Steph Martin has not kicked goals throughout the year.
Does Brody Grundy kick goals?
I don't know.
Probably going to get draft number 2 as a ruckman.
What are your thoughts, Statesman?
Oh, look at that. Look at that handball.
Yes, my thoughts are it's pretty simple. If we know it's going to be a long rush structure, then all over Steph Martin. But I will put the little cease and thought process that Hawthorn and all the Hawthorn disciples are all playing the 2-ruck structure. So, and that has affected every single ruck that's gone through. And you have to look at what Carlton put in place this year as well under Bolton. So my scary thought process is they'll run with 2-ruckmen and that doesn't work for Steph Martin in fantasy footy.
Did Adam Simpson coach at Hawthorn?
Nah, he just ran drinks.
Just ran drinks?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay.
So, who did he coach?
West Coast.
With Knick Knack Paddywhack.
With Knick Knack Paddywhack and Scott Lysette.
I'm pretty sure since he's taken over that role that they've run the 2-ruck option right through.
Yeah, but they both scored. Knick
Knack and Lysette.
Yeah,
they both went from being potential top 3 or 4 ruckmen to actually get between the 6 and 10. So if Steph Martin, who's the number one Dream Team scorer in 2015, was to play the 2-ruck option, he'll be dropping below the top 10.
I'm still on it. That's all I'm saying. I've got him in my top 4 rucks.
But you are a Steph Martin homer, though.
Any man who can, like, squat a car is in my team.
I have not seen that footage.
And I will premise this that I drafted him at number one this year, so I've made the same mistake.
Oh, look, I drafted him number 2. And
I drafted him number 1.
that didn't work out at all.
No, it didn't.
But the concussion. The concussion. Well,
Brody Smith.
Yeah, and I'm not drafting him, but, you know, he's...
Andy Gaff had concussion.
But there's a million defenders. There's only X amount of ruckmen. Oh, well, do we want to start on the ruck rankings?
No, we do not. We don't have time.
We don't? Don't we have time?
No, we don't. We can talk about it next week.
We do not.
We can talk about it next week.
We do not have time.
But, okay. So you're pretty keen on Steph Martin.
I would never cross him out. I'll put it that way.
I will not be drafting
him. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Look, I can't argue the new coach, the blah, 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 the diarrhea spewing out of your mouth. I'm still on board.
Who is your final player that you will not be drafting there, Statesman?
Yeah, a bit of a theme coming here. This guy's 34 years old before the season starts. Mr. Jared Waite. In the forward line, although he was amongst the competition's best forwards for the first five rounds this year. But that included games against Brisbane, Fremantle, Gold Coast and Melbourne, which actually wasn't a good trend for the opposition at the time. He only averaged 68 points for the remaining nine games that he played. Only one season of his seven seasons has he played more than 16 games. I see people thinking because of his great start to 2016... And they've probably cleared a bit of a path with Drew Petrie being out of the team that he's going to get more of the footy or be more the number one target. But I think way too risky, both with injury and consistency.
No arguments from me there, especially the way Ben Brown was playing last year. I thought he's going to be the number one there. And Mason Wood, if he gets fit and firing as well for me, could play that medium forward, and Jared Waite can just cut the oranges and hand them out at half time for me.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
No.
That's a round of beers on Jared Waite.
Even if you're there, pick round 22, I'm not picking him.
No. No, look, hey, mate, he might be a string some weeks against inevitably whatever the terriblest defense in the league is, but.
Yes. If he's on the park.
Yep. I'm going to stick with North Melbourne and run them into the ground with Andrew Swallow.
Ah, some low-hanging fruit there.
It's not not some of my finest work, really. Didn't go out on a limb. But look, the disposal dropped it. Well, I mean, it is in a way, because Daniel Wells, who is their best midfielder, is out.
That's true.
He's relinquished the captaincy, which some people would say you can focus on football, but whatever that is. Plus, he's too damn good-looking, Jono.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
He's lost his speed.
Did he have any?
He did, actually. Got a little bit.
Anyway, back to relevant points. Disposal dropped every year since 2012. Relies on contested possessions and tackles, which in this day and age is going out the window. Look, his tackles average is 7.5, which is fantastic.
Great.
Like, let's be honest. But let's say that tackle average drops by 1.5, so he averages 6 tackles a game, which is still a fantastic number. He's unusable in fantasy.
Yes.
Like, his numbers drop too low. I guess you could say he's bench cover if you want. Someone to plug and play over the bye rounds. If you got injuries, maybe you pick up
it's a rainy, a wet game.
And Gary Ablett, and he only plays 12 games a year. No upside.
No.
So, I mean, he's a bye filling at best. For me, didn't kick a goal last year, Jono.
Surprising.
And his kick-to-handball ratio is the worst it's ever been last year. So, we know kicks are obviously what if you got 20 possessions and you get some of those are extra, you know, it's heavily weighted to the kick side.
Yeah.
It's extra points. So,
yeah, I'm no interest in Andrew Swallow, especially with the exodus of good players at North Melbourne.
Oh, and obviously Ben Cunningham is going to average 127 this year, so.
Okay, good. Yeah. Hot take there.
Robbo?
I think we've been blocked by him.
Oh, yeah. Again?
Yeah, not for me. North not going to be as good. All those players out, and they're going to bring in the young kids, so he'll just go by the wayside for me.
And maybe he's not long for North Melbourne.
No.
Mm.
Your thoughts, Statesman?
Yeah, he's not as sexy as a fantasy player, is he, Andrew Swallow? He's only turning 30, so I think he's still got a bit of legs in him. Although, to be quite blunt, he'll just be bench covered, to be quite honest with you. I wouldn't be sad if someone else picked him up before I considered him, so I'll have to agree with you, Steve.
Well, thank goodness someone agreed with me on one thing, because he has scored well in the past.
And the past is the past.
The past is the past.
But who is your last player there? That was your last player.
Who's your last player, Jono?
My last.
Who's your last player? Myself.
Myself. No, he's GWS's latest recruit. That's Brett Deledio. You might be thinking, why the hell would you not be drafting Brett Deledio?
Because they got 4 goddamn half forwards now.
That is true. He's turning 30 next year. He's had the last couple of years. He's had Achilles and calf injuries. even if the player's got one of those injuries, I am not a fan. And when he's had both, just really scares the hell out of me. As Steve just said, you've got Stevie J, Toby Green, Devin Smith, and now Brett Delidio, who's a pure forward, doesn't have DPP.
But Reece Palmer's out.
Oh, no.
Hey, we're going to talk Reece Palmer in 2 weeks, my friend.
GWS have already said he's going to be playing that forward role. Yeah, he's scored well when he has played that, but I don't see him getting that mid-time. It's the game amount of game times too. I want him to be playing 19 games plus a year, not the 12 or 16 games a year. And especially now that he's just pure forward, can't have him.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably. It's Brett Delidio scores particularly well when he's on the park.
That's true.
Historically,
no question about that.
Yeah, absolutely, fantastic player, one of the most skilled players I've seen.
Yeah.
It's hard to see the volume being there. Now he's going to be playing pure forward, but he was pure forward last year in terms of status in the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see it with Stevie J. Not Devin Smith and Toby Green playing so particularly well last year, all Australian Toby Green.
Yeah.
It's hard to see Brett Delidio maintaining those numbers. I can see his average dropping at least 10 points, and it's going to take a high pick to get him.
I think people are still going to see that average and, yeah, just go for it.
And they may rest him throughout the year. I'm in complete agreement. I can't see myself drafting him because I think he's just going to go too high. That's why.
Oh, okay. Overvalued.
Like you said before, there's always a point when you want to get these guys.
But you don't want to pay the price.
But I don't want to pay the price.
No.
You know, if you gave me, let's say Michael Barlow is mid forward. Who are you going to draft? Michael Barlow or Brett Delidio?
I'm going Michael Barlow.
Yeah, there you go. And it's a no brainer, yep, basically, at this point. Complete agreements with you, Jono.
Well, write it down for the ages, people. There's the first time Steve's ever agreed with me on anything, I think.
But I will. No.
Your thoughts, Steve?
I disagree with you, Jono. Forward, top six forward. I'll definitely draft Brett Delidio. 29 at the start of the season. Yes, he does turn 30. And yes, he's a couple of injury-prone years, but he's actually shown he can play through injury and still score reasonably well. I think he's clearly going to be near the top of what's going to be pretty thin stocks of forwards, and I'll be definitely picking up Brett Delidio. And I think with a close to premiership list, although he will be managed, it won't be forced to play with Saw, etc. I believe this man is going to play his best footy of his career, and he'll be loving it.
Steve.
Wow. Look, that's a interesting call. I can't take it. I can't agree with the volume. I just don't think the volume's going to be there.
See, I think the only reason Delidio played through injury was because Hardwick just pulled a gun on him and forced him out of the field because what did Richmond have? Nothing. But
no, look, I agree. He might be a big part of the side and enjoy playing towards the inevitable three-peat. but I just don't see the volume being there. I see the scores being up and down.
Well, you look at Stevie Jace, he was up and down.
Well, he was good for a while, but look, Brett Delidio is probably in a better position than Stevie J, would you say?
I would say.
Cashing in checks, he's actually a valuable contributor. Guy. But, yeah. I mean, just I look at the guys around him. Mate, Devin Smith and Toby Green, you're talking about All-Australian level guys. I think it's going to take a top two round pick to get him, and I can't spend that on him. And look, maybe he's a top six forward. Would you draft? Well, I'll go through, like we just said, Jono Statesman. Who would you take, Barlow or Delidio?
I'd take Barlow.
After today's announcement, I'll take Barlow.
Would you take Buddy Franklin?
Yes.
No.
Toby Green.
Yes.
No.
Wow, really? Toby Green?
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried of what Delivio is going to do to Toby Green.
Okay.
All Australian, yes, but where he sits in the structure is going to be interesting. I think he may lose his position on the half forward and actually become a little bit deeper. And he's actually going to touch the footy much less. He'll still be important to his team, but fantasy-wise, he'll be much different.
No, see, I don't want to touch any of those guys.
Could see Green getting pushed more into the mid to open up for Delidio.
I think they'll all run around. Well, what about Dalhouse?
Oh, Dalhouse.
Yes.
Lids.
Dalhouse. Who else have I got? I don't really have anyone else off the top of my head. I wasn't expecting anyone.
That's my point.
What about Jack Gunston?
No.
I'll probably lean towards Lids.
JJK.
Tough one. I'd probably swing just to JJK. Depending where I was getting him.
No, for me.
Really? Wow. What about a fit? And let's say clean, Harley Bunnell? What about Jesse Hogan?
No.
All right. Well, look, it's an interesting question.
Too much of the baby kisser.
Oh, look.
Touching
now.
A nerve here.
Hey, actually, it was interesting because Mrs. Fears was away and I went down to the births and deaths, the registrar, and had the baby's name legally changed to Tainted.
Wow. Did you tell the Mrs. Fears about this?
No, she does not know.
Okay.
But Tainted Fizz is... poor baby.
All right, I believe we've got some questions, Steve.
Yeah, we actually had a couple of listener questions this week. If you want to keep shooting us your questions through, we're happy to talk anything, literally anything.
Which you can do via social media on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or on Facebook, and just search The Draft Doctors.
Yeah, look, one of our loyal listeners, Scott Warwick, asked us on Twitter, what are our thoughts on Michael Barlow now he's at the Suns?
If you've ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where Putty gets the eight-ball jacket, all signs point to yes.
Does he wear the number?
I've got to support the team.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he's forward, I'm all over it as a top-round pick. Yeah.
Otherwise, he'll keep his mid-forward status.
And we had a question from someone a little while ago. Obviously, we've been recording a little bit differently with Jono's whale-watching expedition. Thoughts on the Lockie Whitfield situation, which is apparently going to be announced over the next fortnight in regards to his, you know, indiscretion, let's say.
Dodging the test.
But who, well, I said indiscretion. And who it benefits if he is, in fact, rubbed out.
Who it benefits? Well, your boy Josh Kelly, straight off the top of my head. Maybe Delidio? Maybe?
Maybe. Statesman, you got any thoughts if he happens to
get rubbed out?
Happens to end up missing some particular
potential time?
Game time?
Yeah, I think you're right with Josh Kelly, but I also think it helps the two we just talked about before in Brett Delidio and also Toby Green, who might just both push up one line. And it just means I get a fair bit more opportunity to get footy. So, a little bit unsure because I think Whitfield is always going to start doing more and more in the guts, and it could be just as simple as Josh Kelly, who I think is an absolute jet, just might get that added experience.
Yeah, I'm certainly all over Josh Kelly, and I'll also throw out the name, Jono.
Jacob Hopper.
Certainly cracked it for a few games this year.
Certainly did.
And looked handy, but I don't think he's draftable at this stage. But
no.
Certainly one to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Pre-season, burning up the track, who knows?
So, yeah, thanks to people for getting in touch and sending in some questions.
And please do keep sending them in over the, well, now the pre-season started. That wraps up the show for this week. Next week, we are talking who our number one players, total scores in both formats. And we're going to throw in a couple of smokies there too. And we're going to talk a bit of draft ruck on where to take a ruckman. There's obviously different strategies, so be interesting to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge show ahead, Jono.
Absolutely. But Statesman, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for all your knowledge, and I can't wait to hear what you've got to bring next week.
Look forward to it, gentlemen.
And we'll see you next week, listeners.